The Lord be with you.
And also.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace. He said to them, "You too, go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again around noon and around 3 o'clock and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too, go and work in my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. Not receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "This one worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden in the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do it with my money as I wish? Are you envious because I am generous?" Thus, the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord. Between the reading of Isaiah and the reading of St. Matthew, we see two very different things going on. Isaiah says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." In other words, go out looking for the Lord and you'll find him. Call on him because he is near. That's what Isaiah was teaching. And yet in the midst of all of salvation history, we saw very few seem to be seeking the Lord. And those who did sometimes ended up at the wrong place. And so how did God decide to reconcile this problem? He decided to send his only Son to take on our human nature so that no longer do we need to seek the Lord as much as now God is actively seeking us. Tells us something about the gospel that's good. That God is not simply waiting around for us to find him, to stumble upon him someplace, but rather now God, sending his Son into the world, is actively seeking out those, namely all people, that can share in his life and share in his joy and share in the eternal happiness of the kingdom, everlasting life. And we see how active God is with this because, as we hear in the parable, the landowner goes out 5 times to get more helpers. You'd think if he was a good landowner and had good management, he would have known at the beginning of the day how many he needed. Why did he keep out going this? In other words, was he doing this simply for his sake? Now, being able to get more people to do the work, of course, is going to speed up the harvest. At least that's his hope. And so he continues to reach out to bring people in. And if we look at the life of Jesus in the Gospels, it's clear that that is what he spent his whole life doing, offering them the kingdom. He says, "You want to work for my Father? You'll never find a better employer in the world than God. You won't. He'll make you work, there's no doubt about it. But as the bulletin board signs, you know, the benefits are out of this world." But what we see happening here is that even to the very point of the cross, Jesus is inviting people to work for the kingdom. Because what happens at the cross? A very interesting thing. Jesus is nailed between the two thieves. And the one thief, whose name has traditionally been named Dismas, says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Ah, isn't that an interesting phrase? And at that very moment, Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Talk about someone coming in at the last minute. You have the apostles ministering and serving him and helping him serve others for 3 years. One of them betrayed him, one denied him, the rest fled. They're nowhere to be seen. And yet they were, if you will, the management. And the management was nowhere to be found. And here's this poor thief saying, "Remember me in your kingdom." Jesus says, "You're hired. You're hired." It's a wonderful thing to hear, because to be hired means, from the standpoint of our faith, is that God recognizes our faith in him. And in recognizing that faith in him, he offers us his strength. He offers us his mercy for the forgiveness of our sins. He offers us hope. But more importantly, he offers us meaning. Because he tells us what life is truly all about. And he's constantly looking to tell these people what life is all about. Because there's all kinds of views of the meaning of life. And we see, just turn on the television, people want to be wealthier, they want to be famous, or they want to be notorious, or they simply just want to be on TV. Those crazy people on reality television whose only claim to fame is their willingness to make a total fool of themselves. But whatever it takes for your 15 minutes of fame. And the Lord said, that's not really a good line of employment to get into, because in the end, you're going to find yourself used. You're going to find yourself manipulated. And whatever you gain is not going to go to you. Ultimately, it's going to go to somebody else. That's not true if we seek the employment from the Lord, because the Lord promises us that if we are faithful to him, if we serve him, he will serve us. He will be our companion. He will comfort us. He will help us know what this life is all about. And you know, the past week or so, people have been forced to evaluate their life a little bit. Why? There's been no television, no internet, unless you have a transistor, no radio. There's a lot of silence going on. And all of a sudden, good Lord, people are forced to think. Can you imagine that? It's an amazing thing. And on top of it, the stock market going down and up like a roller coaster, and all of a sudden their material world seems to be in some kind of chaos. The retirement's now in trouble or whatever's going on. We tend to have to evaluate where we have put our priorities. What is truly important and what is not. And these parables all do the same thing. They teach us what is important and what is not. And usually they do it by turning things upside down. It was very interesting. We see the cleverness of this landowner saying, "Bring in the people I hired last and pay them first." And they got the usual daily wage. Now why, just think about it, why would those people who they hired at the beginning of the day assume they were going to get more? They agreed to the amount. Why did they think they were going to get anything more than what was promised them? What was going on there? It was clear. All of a sudden now, the one who is measuring their worth is themselves, not God. God knows our worth. Our worth in God's eyes is infinite. He's going to give us what we need, but not always everything we want. He's going to give us peace, but in that peace is also going to be the cross. And so in the midst of all of our life, we tend to know that we need to seek the Lord's employment. We need to want to work for him. And to work for him, as is clear, does not require any special skills. We don't have to go through an interview other than, will you come and go into the vineyard and you simply say yes. There's no human resources person, no background checks, you know, nothing like that. Will you work for the kingdom? Yes. Now, how do we work for it? Is there a special job we need to do? No. As Christians, as human beings, we know what we need to do because as Christ has taught us, we need to learn to take what God has given us and use it for Him and then use it for us, but for our well-being and also for the well-being of others. And to recognize every day to be an employee of the kingdom, if you will, that part of this is always talking things over with the owner, to share our life with God and to have God share His life with us. Lord, how can I be a better father today? Or how can I be a better employer? How can I be a better citizen? How can I do all these things? And the Lord will show us. The Lord will tell us. But that daily life of prayer can give us a great deal of confidence. Can help us know if we're on the right way. Because we know ultimately it's going to be God's way that we're seeking to follow. And the only way we can do that is to humbly serve Him. And to recognize at the end what these people forgot to recognize. The wage is the same. The wage is God Himself. God doesn't dole Himself out in bits and pieces. As I said many times, God's love is abundant. And whether we receive that abundance now or later, the abundance is there. But some people want to play Russian roulette and say, well, I'll do what I can now and then try to slip in afterwards. We can't always know when that's going to happen. I've seen so many people get upset. Oh, so-and-so was, you know, he had a Catholic burial and he was the worst so-and-so ever. But what happened? Well, he had the priest come and anoint him and heard his confession and he's in the church and all this. And what an awful thing. What an awful thing. What, that someone actually got to heaven? That's an awful thing. It's not hardly an awful thing. But I'll tell you what, that person was very lucky that God, that someone was around to offer him the providence of God and the mercy of God. And I can't see how they would have an advantage over someone who every day sought to faithfully live the Lord, who every day made sacrifices for the Lord and for their family, who prayed every day, who served, who sometimes went without, but who always knew that they were blessed by God. I can't see them being jealous over that person who managed to slip in under the door. Because as human beings, hopefully we're all destined for the same place. We are created by God. And God wants us in that vineyard, not only to work with Him in this life, but to rest with Him forever in the life to come. So let us be grateful that the Lord has asked us to work for Him. Let us be grateful for all that He gives us, especially the gift of His body and His blood, and the gift of the Holy Spirit which guides us every day. That when someone asks, what are you doing and why are you doing it? We can say, I have been called by the Lord to be a good father. I have been called by the Lord to be a good son. And I do it by loving. I do it by kindness and by generosity. I do it by forgiving. And in doing all of that, we will see that we have not just received our wage. We have received far beyond what we've ever put in to the process.